Good evening, and welcome to a previously recorded program of Connection Q&A. This broadcast was recorded during the Homeland Security series from earlier this year. We won't be taking your calls tonight, but hope you're blessed by the insightful answers Pastor Skip Heitzig gives to the questions asked by listeners after hearing the message, How to Prevent Soul Thieves. Join us at this same time next week when we return to your calls live on Connection Q&A. And welcome into another week of Connection Q&A. I'm Steve Ryman, and joining us in studio shortly will be Skip Heitzig and Nelson Walker. We're going to be taking your phone calls from around the country. A lot of folks listening via CSN or possibly on the web following the teaching on the current series, Homeland Security. Of course, the website for that is HomelandSecurity08. But before we jump into things, I want to make sure the phone numbers are out there for folks who want to call in with questions. 1-866-730-4921. It's a toll-free number for you to call in with your question you have about tonight's message. Here's the phone number again. It's 1-866-730-4921. That's toll-free. If you're in the Albuquerque area, the local number is 338-5790. We're already getting some calls in queue, and we'll get to those calls momentarily. We want to thank those who've already got on the phone, and we'll get to Michelle's call, Linda's call, and others in just a moment. But I do want to bring your attention again to the website for the series. It's homelandsecurity08.org. Now, another great resource on the web, and Pastor Skip mentioned it, one of the pastors before service mentioned the website at calvaryabq.org is a great resource to find out about the various ministries that are happening on the campus here. Let me give that again. It's calvaryabq.org, and you'll be able to go there to see archived messages, not only from the weekend service, but the midweek service as well. Currently, that Wednesday evening service is going through the entire Bible, kind of an overview of the entire Bible in just about a year. For those unfamiliar with the midweek Bible study, it's the Bible from 30,000 feet, and it has its own website as well. That's BibleFrom30K.org. It's very unique because it's just a great opportunity for those who've perhaps been going to church for a very long time and been through a lot of the Bible, but may have missed some spots that, just don't typically get attention. And we're going through the entire Bible. It started months ago, and it'll take just about a year. And the website for that that Bible study, again, is BibleFrom30K.org. It streams live on the web as well, so we hope to have you along with that Bible study, and we'll start getting to your questions. Toll-free, 1-866-730-4921. And locally in Albuquerque, 338-5790. And I said I would, and I'm going to. Welcome into studio Pastor Skip Heitzig, senior pastor at Calvary of Albuquerque, and the pastor that oversees the School of Ministry at Calvary of Albuquerque, Nelson Walker. Welcome into studio, guys.
And do you know that Nelson was the pastor in a church in Arkansas?
I did not know that.
Several years ago, senior pastor in Arkansas. What was the name of the town, Nelson?
It was Saline County. We were in Benton, Arkansas, but we went with Saline County, just south of Little Rock, the capital.
So who is the governor? Who was the governor at that time?
The governor had just been elected president at that time.
Oh, that was when Bill Clinton was president?
He had just left, and other people were now coming on the scene.
And now, is it Huckabee that's the governor of that state?
He's former.
Former governor?
Former governor,
he became governor. I was there. There was somebody else, and then Huckabee came in.
I just felt like bringing up some political segue.
Well,
I don't know why.
It's kind of that time of year, and everyone
exactly.
Just went through Super Tuesday.
That's right. What's so super about it? Nobody knows the results.
Actually, I think the biggest deal, wasn't it, that it was like the most delegates selected in one day?
I don't know. I followed it, but I didn't know that. Really?
I think it was. That was what was super about it.
So explain to me why it's only one party in some states.
You know what?
It's called a caucus, not a primary.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that. And I know that some states that do that wish they wouldn't. Some people in those states.
Oh, my.
Hey, you know what? I know those who have been on the line have been very patient, and we appreciate their calling in. We're going to take those calls toll-free at 1-866-730-4921.
And the topic tonight was soul thieves. And if you missed the message, let me encourage you to watch for the archive to show up at homelandsecurity08.org. Michelle has been patient. She's calling in this evening from Montrose, Colorado.
Wow.
And we appreciate her being a part of the broadcast. And Michelle, welcome into Connection Q&A. You're on with Pastor Skip.
Thank you.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Skip. A long time little sheep here. I've been listening to you for years. I listened to your message tonight, wow, and it was especially powerful because I had found Nehemiah, and the very same thing that you were reading some time ago really felt it was pertinent to my situation. And my question to you is that I have, I'm a single parent, and I am trying to be the spiritual leader of the family, and my kid's dad, that my daughter just went to live with him about a year and a half ago, and my son has just started seeing him about every weekend.
Mm.
And while professing to be a Christian, there is no evidence in the way he perceives the world or acts in the world or talks about how you are in the world. And the thing that worries me is the access to the internet, you know, besides no church and the kind of rhetoric they get is that they're being allowed on the internet. My daughter got into some serious trouble. I've kept my son off and out of my space. And so I'm looking for, really, for you, some biblical answers that even though you've got one person here powerful, another person on the other side powerful, that God in his mercy and grace is more powerful than the other side, and some maybe practical other things I can do.
Hmm. Well, Michelle, flying solo as a parent is one of the most difficult and challenging callings in life, and you're not there by choice. Perhaps you're there because of a list of circumstances that happen, but you find yourself divided time with your child and your child's time interested in another parent. The values are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you can do if you're especially interested in internet activity is you can become a gatekeeper for your son. And is it your son? And so how old is he?
15.
So he's at an age where there's a lot of curiosity. He's going to be looking at a lot of things like all kids do to some point at that age. And in one sense, you want to be a firm, loving, biblical parent, but I'm going to use a word, but be unshockable. You know, unshockable. Allowing your child to express himself. And you're there to listen, to accept, not accept the behavior, but to accept what is being said with great love, with the same kind of forgiveness and love and tenderness that the Heavenly Father has toward us. And then you express your concern very, very candidly with him, and that see if either you or maybe a youth pastor could be an internet partner with him. This is something that we had a youth pastor here some years back, and he's a friend of the family, and he did this for my son. What it means is every time he was on the internet, every bit of activity that was generated by any internet session was emailed to this other youth pastor every single month so that they could watch and then make a phone call to him if need be about, hey, I noticed you were on that side, and what was that about? And that's that kind of accountability that will help shape and mold him. And a lot of times kids want that to be anybody other than a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I suggest somebody a little bit older but not as old as a parent. Could be a favorite uncle. Probably best to be a Sunday school teacher or a youth pastor. But there's all sorts of great resources that you can sign up for, he can sign up for, and that'll help.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help you out, Michelle?
Yeah, and what do you think about MySpace in general? Because I have blocked it off our computer access.
Well, I could say that about the internet in general. MySpace,
yeah.
There's a lot of lot of people on there, a lot of Christians on there. Somebody told me the other day that I'm on there, and I've never been on there. So somebody obviously posted something with my name on a website. But, you know, it's huge, and it's where a lot of kids spend their time. But whether you're on MySpace in particular or on the Internet, a lot depends on the fortitude and the choices that are made, whether they're going to see something and immediately bounce from that, or entertain it and get curious. There's a lot of stuff on that website that is just unhealthy, but that's true about a lot of websites. And, you know, some Christians feel called to get on these websites and infiltrate them with Christian, Christian activity. YouTube is one. A lot of things are posted on YouTube that are very healthy and good and godly, and, of course, a lot that is not. So at that age, you know, I think it's best to have somebody who can monitor what is being seen, what is being visited, whether it's on YouTube or MySpace or a number of other websites.
And what do you think about do you know any promises in the Word of God that as a parent and as a child of God, praying for my children, watching over them, that eventually, you know, no matter what we go through, somebody told me it's in the Bible, you can pray for the salvation of your immediate family and that God will save them. I haven't found that scripture.
Well, you know, what usually people do is often quoted is the Proverbs 22 scripture that you train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not leave it or depart from it. And so some take that as a blanket statement to mean that if I train up a child or take him to Sunday school, that he's going to always grow up and keep the faith. And then they get disillusioned if there's a period of time where there's rebellion that is seen, if it's a long period, especially that they think God has not kept his promise. Here's the deal. In Corinthians, Paul talked about the believing spouse sanctifying the children. And what that means is sets them apart for the best opportunity to have a relationship with Christ. Because of your modeling, because of by precept and practice, that child sees the life of Christ in you and through you. You are setting them apart and giving them a great opportunity. They're miles ahead of anybody with a child in an unbelieving home. So it doesn't mean they're saved, but they're sanctified. They're set up and set apart by God, by your godly influence, in a way that God honors. And God will honor the seeds that you sow. You're sowing seeds. You're planting the trees, so to speak, in such a way that your son in the next generation will get all the shade from it.
Well, Michelle, we appreciate you calling in. It was real important that you did, too. We appreciate you listening to the message tonight. We hope it, well, yeah, you expressed when you called what a blessing it was to you, and we're glad of that. And we're glad that you called in because, you know, Skip, Michelle is a single mom in a situation that is not unfamiliar to a lot of single parents that are out there listening now. And we appreciate that she was able to call in and express some of those concerns.
That's right. And I hope we post this, Steve, because here we have a caller, I think, on is it CSN?
Yeah, listening on CSN in Montrose, California.
In Colorado.
Or in Colorado.
Right.
And actually just calling in after the show.
So they didn't get, who are listening by long-distance radio, they didn't get the printout that we have here.
Yeah, we'll have to get that to the Internet team and get that posted on along with tonight's message.
But let me give you just a couple helpful sites. Can I just throw them out?
Yeah, go for it.
www.family.org/protection. Family.org/protection. There's a number of others, and we may throw those up on in this radio program, but we want to get that on the Internet, and people who listen long distance can get that information.
And that's actually a neighbor of yours, Michelle, the folks at Focus on the Family making that available to you. Family.org/protection. Phone line is open for you at 338-5790 if you're calling locally in the Albuquerque area. And toll-free nationwide at 1-866-730-4921. And before we get to Linda's call real quick, I want to throw a challenge out to the guys, maybe, and the gals. You know, you mentioned the guys had a higher percentage of the some of the things you were talking about during the message tonight, Skip, that 50% of the guys really sitting in the pews tonight.
Five out of ten.
Have explored some of these pornography sites or spend 11 hours weekly on these sites.
Isn't that a shocking amount? And then 34% of church-going women, according to the guy who wrote the article in the Charlotte
Observer, have checked them out. Yeah, that person. Give us a call tonight, and let's break the trend. Okay, those numbers are 338-5790 and toll free 1-866-730-4921. Linda, you are on Connection Q&A with Pastor Skip Heitzig. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, Pastor Skip.
Hi, Linda.
I am blessed, honestly, because, you know, my hands are shaking and I'm sweating, but I'm grateful. I have a 21-year-old boy that has been in remission of testicular cancer for the last 2 years, and he is really a miracle boy because he's had it all over. And now, of course, well, his father lives out of state, and he lives on his own with roommates, and a parent knows her child, and he is, I guess my question is, how can I inspire or help my son when I know that he's seeking or trying to live his life but does not like others to get inside of him because there's not any kind of male influence on him? I mean, I don't know what a young man feels like when he's growing up and...
I gotcha. Let me ask you, can I ask you a couple questions? What kind of relationship do you have with your son?
I am his rock. I mean, I am his foundation. It's like he knows that, you know, mom loves me unconditionally no matter what. And, I mean, he shares, you know, he doesn't like to talk a lot, but, you know, he'll share how much he made or what he bought or, mom, guess where I went today? I went to church. And for him to say that on his own and go on his own for the first time, you know, 3 weeks ago is like, whoa, so, wow. I'm just like, wow, that's great, son. And, but I don't say too much because I don't want to push him away or I don't want to be too much for him, you know. Do you
right.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah, now tell me about the relationship. Is it Simon?
I'm sorry?
What's his name?
Joshua.
Joshua. What kind of relationship does Joshua have with his father?
Not real good. I mean, his father might call him, you know, every day on the cell phone, and they might talk for literally 15 seconds. How are you, son? And, you know, but they don't really have a relationship.
Okay, let me shoot out a few ideas, if I can, Linda. First of all, praise God that he's in remission. That is such good news to hear. This is where, when there's a family that is in need or a family that is where there's a breakdown and the husband, the father is not involved, this is a great opportunity for the church to be what Jesus intended to be in the New Testament, because the church is the family of God. It's the family of the beloved. And this spiritual family can come along other families that are in need, and frankly, about every family I know is in some kind of need. But all of us together can fortify what is needed in your family. So let's say, like you mentioned, there's no male influence. You know, Joshua is making all the right moves, and he's on his own seeking, and that's great. But I'll tell you what, if you're here in Albuquerque, and especially if you go to this church, I can guarantee you that if we know his name, if we have his number, we can reach out. One of our youth pastors or his age or a little bit older or peers can call him, encourage him, build a relationship with him so that he has somebody his age, somebody that he feels safe with. I obviously feel safe with you, but these are male influences who love God and can provide a buffer and a shelter. Picture it like this. He's bouncing around in life right now with cancer treatments, 21 years of age, making critical choices. And you need to know when you're bouncing up and down that there's people underneath holding the trampoline, and you have to have the right people holding it. And you need a medical people in your case. You need spiritual people in his case. And that's where the church gets around and provides the family strength. I would also suggest if there's a godly uncle or a godly brother. I have seen uncles write notes periodically to their nephews or nieces and just be that male influence where the father is absent. and provide spiritual counsel and somebody that's a buffer and a safe place to go. There's a lot of people that can pick up that slack. I don't think anybody quite does it like a dad, but I'm telling you, the Lord will restore the years the cankerworm has destroyed. And I think Joshua, if he gets strong spiritual undergirding, will be in a great place.
You know, Skip, I think practically from what you shared with us tonight, we can see how Nehemiah reacted. You know, he prayed and he fasted, and there was a plan.
Boy, that's right, Stephen. I'll tell you what, there's nothing like a praying mother, right? I mean, I think of my mother and what I put her through and the patience she had. And I hear in Linda's voice, you know, it's very reminiscent of the longings my mother had for me. You know, and I was at 21 years of age, I was just a brand new believer. But up till that time, in my earlier age, I was a wild kid. And I was written off by a lot of people. But my mom was there praying and trusting and influencing. And so Joshua is so lucky to have a great mom like Linda.
Now, Skip, in Linda's case, I heard you kind of put it back on the church somewhat. And the truth is, there's times where I'm not pointing the finger. There's four pointing back. We fail in this area. And in spite of the fact that, you know, through the prayers that Linda's doing, you know, a godly man may come forward. Are there proactive things, you know, that Linda can do? Like, and I don't know where, Linda, you're attending church, but, you know, maybe finding a group at your church that regularly does some activities that you and Joshua maybe could do together. And through that, you know, God may have a plan there where a godly man would come forward.
Yeah, you know, Steve, I think it's as simple as giving his number, getting Josh's permission, then giving his number to a youth pastor.
Uh-huh.
I know I've done this. I've given numbers to my son,
uh-huh,
high school pastor, Nick, college pastor, Kevin over in the mid-hive, given him people's numbers that call this child up, call this kid up this week, talk to him, and they'll get around him, and they'll form a group around him, and they'll keep calling that person, inviting them, and then once they're there, integrating them into that group. Because that kind of spiritual shouldering goes a long, long way.
Sounds like a pretty simple answer, Linda, but I know there's probably a lot of work to be done, but we hope that that helps. Does that help you out?
Am I still on?
Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And I, believe me, I mean, I know some people. There's not really any men in the family, unfortunately, but Josh was the kind of boy or man or young man that he's always said, I'm going to do it on my own, and by God's grace, he has gone to church part, but he wouldn't like if I asked anybody to call him.
Yeah.
And that's where my problem is. Like, I want to help him, but I don't think he'd like me giving his number out.
Well, then suggest to him to introduce himself to the pastor or introduce himself to the youth pastor to find out when something that is an activity going on or a Bible study for his age group, if that's what he wants. Some kids, frankly, don't really care if they go to a 21-year-old Bible study. They may just come to church and love it as much. It just really depends on the person.
Right.
Well, Linda, we appreciate
Thank
your
you
call.
So much.
Yeah, we hope to hear from you again. Call and let us know. You know, we look forward to a praise report, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I believe in that.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Thank you, Linda. And we're going to open up the phone lines, 338-5790 in the Albuquerque area. And if you're listening nationwide, the toll-free number is 1-866-730-4921. You're listening to Connection Q&A with Skip Heitzig, the senior pastor at Calvary of Albuquerque. We do this each Saturday night right after broadcasting the live service from Calvary of Albuquerque around the nation. That's at 7 o'clock Mountain Time, and you can do the math to figure it out what time that live service comes on in your part of the country. But then after the service, shortly after the service, after the service ends, we go to the top of the hour, and at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, start taking your phone calls. We have a line open for you actually right now at 1-866-730-4921, and locally in Albuquerque, 338-5790.
You know, Steve, in just listening to Linda and thinking about Joshua, and I think about a lot of different kids, I've interacted with a lot of them as my son's grown up, and I have a lot of kids in the house, and I know Pastor Nelson Walker here, Doctor, has also had that. But I tell you, peer pressure is one of the best things for a kid, if it's positive peer pressure. You know, we talk about peer pressure and it's negative. only if it's bad peers. If you have great peers, then peer pressure is one of the strongest forces in a child's life. At first, when a child's growing up, it's all about the parents and parents' authority. That goes away pretty quickly, and then peers become important. And positive peer pressure, that's why it's important to teach children how to pick good friends.
Now, is that what those young captives that we hear about in Daniel, is that how those guys kept it on the straight and narrow?
I think so. Yeah, three of them. They were together, and they made a commitment. The commitment was they drew lines of restriction. They set up a fence. They put up a wall. We're not going to touch anything that's unkosher. We're not going to eat that kind of food. We're not going to drink that kind of wine. And they did it because they had a commitment to God at a very young age in a place where they could have compromised and nobody would have known because it was only them. In this huge court of pagans, they could have gotten drunk, they could have had the harem, they could have all of the accoutrements that comes with that kind of spoiling. But they made a commitment. So it's possible to be young teenager and survive in this world against all odds.
Amen. Yeah, you know, Nelson Walker is sitting in the studio.
I want to hear from him.
I do want to hear from him because we've mentioned him a couple times, and I want people to believe that he's actually sitting over here because I know he's got a thought, and I just want to give you that invite to chime in, well, Nelson Walker.
A couple of thoughts. As was Daniel was just brought up, one of my favorite characters in that the verse that I hold to is it says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself before his God.
Mm.
And the difference between Daniel and his three friends and the other thousand or so kids who disappear from the pages of history very quickly is an inner decision that says, I'm going to stick it out with God. That decision, of course, led to certain activities of abstaining from certain things, doing some things, not doing some things, doing other things. But he made that purpose in his heart when the entire culture, all leadership, all authority was trying to say, go in this other direction.
Amen.
And this is a guy who was a rebel. He was willing to swim against the tide. And I think for our generation coming up, I should say, this idea of no compromise. I remember there was a musician during my era who captured it. His name was Keith Green.
Yes.
And he used to capture that. The other is there have been a couple of callers. Let me say that I was brought up in a single-parent family. And
you turned out pretty good, Nelson.
I think it had to do with the mom who prayed. My mother didn't really go to church. She couldn't. She had to work multiple jobs and all of these things just to keep the food on the table. And I don't really know what happened to my dad, but the fact is, if there is an influence, and the influence in my life is an uncle, Pastor Skip has brought that up. I had an uncle that came into my life. He was not a Christian, but he knew boundaries, and he set boundaries, and we had that. So just because you're in a single household and you think, my child's not listening to me because they're running with peers and they're doing these things and they're on the wild side and they're doing this stuff, they hear you. I know they hear you because I ran that route and I was listening and I did know the difference between right and wrong. And I knew when I was doing wrong, but I knew my mom loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And the night before I went in the Marine Corps, that morning when I got up to leave, I enlisted in the military because I knew I was going down the wrong road and it was really the only way out of the neighborhood. I got up and my mother was up at 3 a.m. making breakfast. And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. God made breakfast for me. It wasn't until a couple of years later that I found out she'd been up all night and found a church and pounded on the door until somebody answered. They weren't going to let her in. And she said, I need to pray. And she basically broke into a church and prayed all night for me. And I got saved while I was in the Marine Corps. And I attribute it to that, to a praying mom.
You know, I'm going to bring up a person that everybody's heard about who had a troubled childhood, Franklin Graham. I mean, talk about a great home to be born into, a praying, Bible-believing mother, an evangelist father, all of them, they love God. Franklin had a bent. He was a rebel. He was one of those very strong personalities, and he is the victim of a praying mother. Ruth Graham wrote a great little book about prodigals that I would recommend any single parent or any parent struggling, especially a mom struggling with a rebellious kid, to get, by Ruth Graham. She went to heaven this last year. But
do you know the title of the book again?
It's Prodigals is in it. I think it's something for prodigals and those who love them, something like that, by Ruth Graham. If you went to a bookstore and say, what's the book Ruth Graham wrote about prodigals? they can look that up on their computer in the bookstore and find it instantly.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, too. If you go on the web to bgea.org, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association website, I'm not sure if they have a search engine on their site, but it wouldn't surprise me if you'd find that resource there as well.
I think it's called Prodigals and Those Who Love Them. And she talks a lot about specifically that boy and how he was a rebel and what she did and how God got a hold of him. And it's a book filled with great hope.
All right. Well, let's. We've invited folks to call in at 338-5790 locally in Albuquerque and around the country. They're calling in toll-free at 1-866-730-4921. We welcome Charlotte into Connection Q&A. Welcome in, Charlotte. You're on with Pastor Skip.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. And I was in the service tonight, Skip, and I'm local to Albuquerque. And I think you've already answered my question. My husband and I, we have three sons, ages 18 to 25. And all three of them freely accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They were all baptized, and all three of them have completely turned away from the Lord and have in their late teenage, you know, 16, 17. And I have the question, I believe once saved, always saved. And I want you to answer that for me and to offer me encouragement that I keep praying daily for my sons. And so does my husband. But we feel like we're at a loss sometimes on how to get them back to the Lord.
Mm. Wow. Charlotte, first of all, thank you for calling. Welcome to the broadcast tonight. Three boys. I'm one of four boys, so I know the kind of action that goes on in a house, especially at that age. I just want you to know that the story's not over yet. You know, they're at an age where they've turned away from what they have been taught. You've trained them up in the way of the Lord. You and your husband, it sounds like, both did that together. These three boys are independent thinkers, like every human being is, and they make their own choice. And so there may be, and I can't tell you what's going to happen. I can't write their history because a lot depends on the choices that they make. So I know this. You say they've turned away from the Lord and they're not walking with the Lord. And I would just add one word to that sentence, and that is the word yet, Y-E-T. They're not walking with the Lord yet. And again, the story is certainly not over. I've watched many people in great rebellion go through, unfortunately, a lot of heartache, but God has ways, like Jonah, who walked away from him. God got his attention and brought him back, not only to a place of doing what he wanted to do, but in submission to God as king of his life. So, you know, there really is hope. And again, I can't tell you what's going on in the heart of your sons, but I do know that what has been presented via your lives, in your precept, in your practice in the home, will bear fruit. And you've seen the fruit, just you don't see it right now. And that's why I say the story is not over yet. There's still room for God to move, and we trust that he will.
Does that help you out, Charlotte?
It does. It does. It seems to me that we feel it. My husband and I both feel a loss. We set such a good example to them, or at least we're sinners. But we still try to set a good example to them, and we're here for them. And two out of the three have come back and are asking for advice and are now beginning. We've become pretty smart in the last 6 months with the 18-year-old and pretty smart with the 25-year-old. But it's just been, you know, we just keep hoping for the question of, can we go to church with you or you know, we want that again. And I recall a story, and I believe it was James Dobson, that he had a friend that he prayed for 20 years. Every day he prayed for this guy. And finally, when the guy was like 63, he came back to the Lord, or he did come to know the Lord. And I'm just thinking, boy, I'm going to be on my knees for a lot of years if I need to do that for my sons. And it just is it seems so hard. And it just seems like that is where the enemy gets us, is through our young teenage boys.
Charlotte, let me ask you a question. What is the issue or issues with your sons and their spiritual walk? What is the beef that they have? What's the resistance?
They don't believe the way they chose. They think that they just don't believe the way they were brought up to believe. It's like, they're total rebellion, and I do need to say we are a blended family, and where the exes aren't concerned. Like I heard them, I believe her name was Linda tonight, or Michelle was saying that she had that. We had total, no help at all whatsoever from both my ex-husband or his ex-wife.
Right. That paints a very different picture when you have a family system where some of the influence, and in this case, the other parents, are not on the same page as you. It does pose a problem, and they're seeing two different ways of life. And listen, the life of the flesh, the life away from the spirit, to somebody young, can look a lot more attractive. It's just like riding the rapids. You know, the rapids right above Niagara Falls must be the best rapids in the world. It's like if you like to shoot the rapids, that's like the coolest place to go, probably. Except if you don't look downstream, you can make a grave mistake in choosing that. And so I think a lot of people don't look far enough ahead, and I think your children or your sons are looking at other paradigms, other ways of that people are living. But I would say this, if they have a problem of believing what they've been taught, what you've taught them, sit down and get very specific with them. What are the areas specifically they have problems with? And then give them good, cogent answers to answer their issues.
Okay.
Have you done that with them?
Yes, and they reach a point where they just tune us out. You know, like my husband will say, we'll talk to one of them and say, or they'll be discussing, and then they turn away. They don't want to hear it. They're so self-serving right now, and they're all about themselves. And we had very strict rules. There was no internet was cut off. We didn't allow cell phone. We went through, you know, trial and error, and we cut off the cell phone, cut off internet, and said, you know, you're not going to have this as long as you live in our house. And so they chose to move out. All of them have moved out because we're not going to be a party to that. We're not going to endorse that or whatever you want to call it, but we're not going to allow that. And
yeah.
So they look at now where, you know, two of them are beginning to see why we've done some of the things we've done, but they're still not wanting to hear about the Lord. You know, Mom, I don't want you hearing, you know, I don't want you talking to me about the Bible.
Well, Charlotte, remember the prodigal son?
Yeah.
Remember how he went out? You know, it takes a while. Sometimes you got to eat the pig slop. And then when you eat the pig slop, you realize, the words Jesus said, and then he came to himself. And
yes.
So when you start eating from another table and it's not satisfying, but it looked so satisfying, it promised satisfaction, and you think, man, this is an empty road. You come to yourself. And that's when the parent needs to be like the son, the father of the prodigal, with open arms, not condemning, restoring, pointing them back to God, because that's exactly his heart.
I know, Charlotte, before we let you go, that Nelson Walker, who's in studio with us too, he had some words of encouragement.
Well, just a couple of things I heard you say earlier is how you tried so hard to bring them up in a godly manner, and yet they've turned from that. And I would say, the Father in heaven brought up Adam and Eve in a godly manner.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they turn from that. Don't beat yourself up or allow the enemy to beat you up in any way because of the choices another makes. Now, Pastor Skip brought something up, and I'm going to piggyback on it. When you talk to them, their reason for rejecting the Lord is really not as much something reasoned into, it sounds as if, as something they just don't want to hear because it causes accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes a choice of the will more than an argument of the intellect. And there are great intellectual responses to any questions they might have, and I would encourage you to find out if there are objections and get those responses. But as Pastor Skip brought up, the prodigal, this is a heart issue. And the prayer is that they find themselves eating, as the prodigal, eating pig slop as soon as possible. Everything that they are looking to for satisfaction, everything they're looking to for hope, everything they're looking to outside of God would very quickly become empty. And they would realize that this is not where they need to be. And I also remember that as I got older, my parents got smarter. So I think maybe that might be going on in your life.
You know, Charlotte, before we press on too, I did want to say something else. As a father of a few, I have a prodigal of my own, And you know, one of the things that came that I heard you say is, you know, we brought them up in the right way, and you know, we brought up our son in the church. But you know, when we got married, we were very young, and the parent my younger children have is very different from the parent my oldest son has. And I don't know if this is your case, Charlotte, but for parents that are listening that have a prodigal that are dealing with this, one of the things that's really helped me deal with this is it's real easy to blame yourself for the actions that they're making now as adults. And in spite of the fact that we made mistakes, you know, a lot of these kids have heard the truth and they're responsible. And one of the things that was really freeing to me as a parent was to realize that here a perfect God put two children in about the perfect place, and they still rebelled against that parent. And if he's the perfect parent, how can I expect that that might not happen in my home? So for the parent that is just down on themselves for things that have happened in their home, well, make the change now. You know, be praying for that prodigal now. And I'm glad you brought up the illustration of the father that's waiting for the prodigal to come home, Skip, because he was looking for him and ready to receive him in love.
Well, that's very encouraging to me. I appreciate that because I do spend a lot of time blaming myself and saying, well, if I'd done this, if I'd done that. And you're right. We don't have any more control over our children's choices. You know, we can pray for them and guide them and teach them and parent them and instruct them and pray for them. And, you know, but then if it comes down to it, they're still going to make these choices,
yeah,
just like
right.
Adam and Eve.
I don't mean to let parents off the hook either. We also have instruction in the Bible
right.
on what we're supposed to do.
You're right, Steve. And Charlotte, I know that you beat yourself up. A lot of parents do. And it's okay to own certain things we've done wrong. At the same time, they're individual creatures. They have their own volition, their own capacity of free will. They make their own choices. They're certainly old enough, and they are responsible before God. You won't be responsible for them. You've done your part. So there's a principle in the scripture that says that a son won't die for his father's sin, is not responsible or culpable because of what the parent did or didn't do. So though you provided a blessing, at the time of their own choice, you are off the hook. So you can influence them now and pray for them now. And
amen.
It's a lifelong thing. It doesn't end when they leave the house. But that relationship certainly does change.
And Charlotte, we hope you were encouraged by what you heard, and we appreciate you calling in.
Absolutely, and thank you, and God bless all three of you.
God bless you, Charlotte.
You too, Charlotte. And we do have time before the top of the hour. We're going to get to Frank's call here momentarily, real soon, as a matter of fact. I want to give out the phone number, though. Toll-free, 1-866-730-4921. Around the nation, you're listening to Connection Q&A with Skip Heitzig, the senior pastor at Calvary of Albuquerque, and the local number is 338-5790.
Steve, before we go back out to the phone, since I got you guys here, I know that you guys are not just workers at a church and ministers in your own right, but you've got your own kids, and you mentioned, how many kids do you have, Steve?
I have six.
Six children, and you have?
Two.
Two, and I have one. So, Steve, you outnumber us. But we all have stories, and we all aren't just children of parents, and you know, a lot of times we've been talking about our parents, but just tell the audience a little bit about your families and what things you struggle with, maybe.
Well, you know, some of the stuff you brought up, you know, that's come up on this show, you know, MySpace right now, YouTube, and I'm going to tell you, you know, quite honestly, we have kids that are on MySpace, but God bless my wife. She is all in their business.
There you go.
She's POS.
Yeah.
Parent over shoulder.
That's right.
And she does a great job. You know, and quite frankly, we have friends who say you shouldn't be there. You shouldn't, you know. And, they probably shouldn't have their kids on because that's how they feel. And we're free to do that. We've seen opportunity through those, like you mentioned earlier, there's opportunity actually to share good things on those sites, but you do need to be really careful. TV, you know, I'll be honest, we're guilty of too much. You know, TiVo has made it real easy to want, you know, to save about anything you don't want to miss. You know, then you feel obligated because you're recorded.
I bought the thing, I got to do it. Nelson, chime in on this.
I have a couple of teenage kids, 17 and 15, daughter and a son.
So you belong to the PTA, right? Poor, tired adults.
You've got it. I'd say more so my wife than me, because she does such a great job with them, spending a lot more time than I have opportunities to. And, you know, our world hasn't been perfect. We've had our bumps and our bruises, and there have been times when we've had to step in and be the parents and set down the law and hear responses that were unpleasant. But the fact is it was consistency. Always being there, always being consistent, living what you believe, not being hypocritical, loving on them anyway. And I can remember an episode that, not that it was a short one-day thing, episode, period of time, where the affirmation was, love you, but these are the boundaries.
Famous and, words of a parent.
Love him, but.
And we weren't dealing with little kids where it's, you know, here are the boundaries, you will eat your spinach or something. These were adolescents, and they were making some choices and having some struggles. But the other is we always encourage open conversation.
That's great.
My daughter is brilliant intellectual. She's so far past anything I ever was. She's just very, very sharp. And she comes up with some questions and tries to reconcile truth versus feeling. And sometimes she says, is it okay to ask questions? It's like, absolutely.
Good.
You question your faith.
Good.
You tear it up and put it back together. Because if it can't stand honest, critical questions, you shouldn't believe it.
And you brought up a real important one, that cross-section between postmodernism, the whole feeling thing, versus objective truth that we were more familiar with in our generation is largely absent. Subjectivism is the king these days.
And that was the greatest picture of that is when we grew up, Star Trek had Dr. Spock. And he was becoming, or Mr. Spock, I should say, and he was becoming all logical. And the goal was to get rid of feelings and have logic. Star Trek Next Generation is Data. He's all logic. He's trying to get rid of reason and go to feeling.
But then there's that one girl who's all about the empathetic one and feeling and not logic.
And so she's the ideal. And that's exactly it. Postmodern has...
Here we are talking about Star Trek. Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Well, you know, a parenting thing just came to mind, you know.
We were talking about Star Trek, though.
Especially when you brought up honesty and them being honest with us. You know, I had one of my kids who was starting to head down what looked, you know, oh, this could end up bad. And you know what? I went to that child, and it wasn't an anger. It was an honest, you know, like God would tell me how much I hurt him by breaking that trust. And I honestly told him. And why would it change? I mean, you know, why would it change after that? And I think part of in dealing with kids is, you know, we ask for them to be honest. And, you know, one of the things I tell my kids, you know, sure, it's okay if I do this because, you know, we're not going to do. And I tell the kids that haven't broken that trust, you haven't given me a reason to question it. Now, when you do, I'm going to. But we're still okay there. Mm-hmm. You know, we make that clear. But when we did have an issue, I think it's important that as parents we're honest with them too when we're hurt.
Let me go back to a word real quick that I mentioned in this one. I just want to touch on it. Unshockable. I heard a story from Josh McDowell. Used to go to our church in California. He became a friend of mine when we were out there, and we maintained that friendship. When Josh was raising his kids, he was brilliant at certain things with his kids. He said he'd be walking on the beach and he'd see graffiti painted on the wall, all these horrible swear words. And rather than walking away, he'd stop, make his kids sit down. They'd have a little picnic. And he'd look at those words and he'd describe how they've been perverted, but what they originally meant. How what this means is that a man and a woman come together. God has ordained it. The world has ruined it. And let them see it and understand it. Didn't keep it from them. And, you know, he worked his way through a number of situations, whether there was an image that they saw in going through the television channel. They'd see it, and Josh would say, here's how a young man is wired. Here's how a young woman is wired, showing them the differences. But I know his son spoke for our church as well out there. It just, there was such a love and appreciation for his parents because they never were shocked. In fact, they use those as strategic opportunities to get into the heart of their children.
Wow. Yeah. Don't be shocked. Yeah. Just address it.
Yep.
Honesty. That's good. Well, we're going to get out to the phone lines again, and we do have a little time before the top of the hour. We're going to get to Frank's call right now, but there is an open line for you, toll-free at 1-866-730-4921, and locally in the Albuquerque area, 338-5790. Frank, thank you so much for waiting, and we're pleased to have you on with us. You're on with Pastor Skip Heitzig. Go ahead with your question.
How you gentlemen doing tonight? God bless.
God bless you, Frank, and thanks for holding the line so long.
Not a problem. You guys have some awesome insights, and the Lord is just using you. I can just hear it in your voices right now. And I was just calling because, you know, I've been married 13 years. I'm from Los Angeles. I'm an ex-gang member, and I married into a Christian family, and my wife and my family prayed and prayed that I'd get saved, and 3 years ago I got saved, you know, 10 years after our marriage. And now it's kind of like flip-flops, you know. Because I want to be a better father and a better example towards our kids. We got four. And now my wife, she's being drawn away from the Word and the Lord. And I don't know where I'm going wrong or if I'm not being that king of my household, you know, if I'm losing it, you know, if I'm not setting that good example. I mean, she's not going to church anymore because I work way out in Santa Fe and I live in Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gotten really, really tough. And, you know, even my tithing has slacked, and, you know, and the tithing is very important in my life, and it really kept us on top of our ball. The Lord has really done wonders in our lives. I just thank Him for all the glorious things He's doing in my life to this day, till right now. And so I'm just, you know, that's pretty much my question. What can I do to, you know, what am I doing wrong?
Frank,
if I'm doing anything wrong.
Frank, let me ask you a couple questions. Is your wife in fellowship?
No.
Does she read her Bible?
You know what? I hope she does. You know what I mean? Not to sound, you know, I know she likes, you know, she reads the Bible when she can. But when we were in our church, you know, we were always involved in our ministry. But because I'm not in church, because I'm always at work, you know, I'm working on Wednesdays, I'm working on Sundays. I'm just now coming home because I work late. And, you know, but the fellowship has gotten away.
And what about... Okay, so then I'm inferring then that you don't have a great Christian support group around you.
Actually, you know what? I have a men's fellowship at my house on every other Friday night is what I have.
A what? A men's fellowship?
Yes.
Okay, so the piece I'm not seeing here is that you've got fellowship at your house, but it's only for men. How about extending that to couples?
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Because everybody needs a family. Everybody needs support. And if you're gone and your wife is not motivated to go to church, then you bring church to the home. And I understand you have a very unique situation because you're working on Saturday, working on Sunday, working on Wednesday. There are great women's studies in Albuquerque. There's one at our fellowship Tuesday morning, Tuesday night. She would find ladies in a number of different life situations, some that would mirror her own, and she could get involved. That would really help. But if she won't even do that, then I say open it up, have a kind of a casual fellowship, dinner sometimes, but make it not just a men's study, make it a couple study, bring your wife into it. And that might be that's a little open door where you're saying, as Joshua did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I would just broaden that out and include her.
Okay.
And also, you know what? You mentioned your wife is drifting away. You got to just make sure. I've often seen this. This is really, it sounds unusual, but I've seen where you have a believing wife praying for an unbelieving husband. He gets saved. He gets responsible. He starts taking the spiritual leadership. She resists that, strangely enough, because now he's assuming the position of being more of the anchor, where at one time she was the anchor. And you mentioned it, Frank, it's a flip-flop, and it can be quite upsetting. So what you need to do is what Hebrews tells us. As she's drifting away from the Lord, the book of Hebrews says that we should give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we drift away from them. So you make sure you don't drift. You keep following the Lord. You expand that study from a men's to a couple's. And you keep preferring and including and encouraging your wife. And if you'd like, one of us here, a woman at this church, would be happy to give her a call, invite her to the woman's study.
And that number at the front desk, Frank, I want to give it to you so you have it here in Albuquerque. is 344-0880. That's area 505-344-0880 at Calvary of Albuquerque. Some great challenge for you there, Frank, though, and we hope and pray that it makes a difference.
You know what, and I think it will. I just, my wife's a beautiful woman inside and out, and it's just kind of, I don't know, I just feel like I'm not doing enough as an example as a husband and as a father because, I like you out here talking about your kids, and I wasn't a very good example for my sons and my daughters, and now that I feel that I am, I still feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah.
And I know the Lord's with me every day because He says that when you're at your weakest, when I'm at your strongest, His strongest.
Well, here's a chance, Frank, for you to take that men's Bible study and have the guys invite the ladies and make it a couples. And one thing I would challenge you in, too, because I've seen some things like this happen where it turns into a dinner night instead of the Bible. Don't let the Bible study go away. Make sure it stays as a Bible study. And call back again and let us know. We've only got a couple minutes before the top of the hour. And real quick, I want to get Tom's call in before we go. Tom, welcome into Connection Q&A. We're only a couple minutes away from the top of the hour, but go ahead with your question.
Okay. Actually, I didn't have a question. I had heard, the study tonight and everything, and I do want to encourage men that have this problem with the addiction to internet, pornography and stuff like that. I came from that, you guys, and I know how it is, and I was really hoping somebody else would call and
Tom,
before
we wrap things up, you obviously have dealt with it. Let the guys know what you did to make a change.
You know what? Unfortunately for me, I lost my marriage. And, that had a big part of things. There was other things also. But, I just came back to the Lord and just prayed fervently and just asked for His forgiveness first and most off. And I just had to shut it off completely and just seek the Lord with everything that I had in order to get away from it.
Okay. Well, Tom, we appreciate your insight, and the guys would really heed that warning. I mean, here's a guy who it cost him a marriage.
It can cost everything. For those men who are in this fellowship, I would encourage them to get in touch with a group we have here. It's a class called Every Man's Battle that deals with this in ways that are very practical. And, of course, there are the websites that have been given in tonight's handout here at the service and will be very quickly put up on the webpage. But they are things to help do this. Pornography is addicting. It can destroy everything. And you can be outwardly godly as far as everyone sees, but inwardly, as the Lord says, with their lips they profess they know me, but with their hearts they are far from me. And guys, if you ever get down that road, it's a dangerous place. You need help getting back. And most of us would rather be proud than to ask for help. But ask for help. It's your eternal destiny at stake.
Steve, we've had quite a night. Great questions, great comments, a lot of good interaction here. And let me just tell people at the website, homelandsecurity08.org. That's homelandsecurity08, that's one word, .org, and there's going to be a lot of resources available.
Yeah, and a couple of websites I'm going to throw out there. One, calvaryabq.org. You'll find some resources there locally for those in Albuquerque. Find out about some of the ministries that will help you in these areas. Family.org/protection was one given earlier. That's Focus on the Family. And one of the things that came about or was talked about was movies. And I see one of the websites I'm familiar with, PluggedInOnline.com. That's actually from Focus on the Family as well. Are movies right for your family? Well, they'll tell you what they found when they went and checked out some of the movies that are currently on DVD and up on the big screen. You've been listening to Connection Q&A. We're back again next Saturday at the same time. Thanks to our producer, Brian, and Sophia on the phones. And we'll be back again on Connection Q&A next Saturday.
We're glad you joined us for this recorded broadcast of Connection Q&A. To find out more about the ministry of Skip Heitzig, call toll-free 1-800-922-1888. That's 1-800-922-1888. 1888 or log on to connectionradio.org.